And was there any political education at all, Mimi?
No, we had old Bill Black. Do you remember Bill Black? Hospital workers? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He always had a saying about socialism. Never give a name to it. And before each election, for instance, I mean provincial or federal, not the union election, he would get up and roar at great lengths. He had a small man, but he had a great big voice, and he'd roar at great lengths about telling you everything but the name of the party to vote for. We used to kind of sit and snicker. Never give it a name, he'd say. Never give it a name. But he was a socialist, of course. I think he did a great deal of good, though everybody sort of laughed at him in a sense, but I think he probably did a great deal of good.
We were talking about political education. Mm-hmm. So the union didn't endorse the particular political party?
Well, no, not as a union, but I believe largely they did support the NDP and made it quite plain, the officers talking individually, most of them, I'd say.
Right. And were there political organizations involved in the union at all? Were there people there from the CCF, the CP, the Liberal Party, and so on who were...
Oh, not really. I had people from the CCF and CP. And would have gone on to have them from the other parties, but my term of office came to an end, and I just didn't feel I could take it on again.
Okay. And what was the name of the union, by the way?
Now, that is the thing, the hospital workers. Now, that is the thing I've just cursed myself for. And one of these days, I'm going to have to go and hunt up my union button. To find our name, a union that I was heart and soul in for years.
Was it the Hospital BC, Union?
BCHEU. BC, yes, right. Isn't that ridiculous? But we were always just the hospital workers.
Were you on the executive at all?
Yes, I was a trustee, I believe, twice, and I was a conductor, a warden. But just that, because at that time I had my children fairly young, you know, some of them still, and I wouldn't take anything too demanding.
Right. Were you involved in the CCF then?
Oh, yes, but not too much, no. Just loaning my home for garden parties and attending meetings when I could, which wasn't that often, and doing the odd thing, baking, things like this, helping at sales. Scrutineering at election times, this sort of thing.
Did the CCF have any sort of structures for trade union work at all?
Not nearly as much as the NDP, no. Trade union people were welcome, more than welcome, but I wasn't involved to the point in the CCF that I knew what the structures were, really. But by no means as much as the NDP, no.
Right. And... when did you become involved working with the CCF, was it?
1960, oh no, the NDP, it was 1961, the new party, yeah, 1960 rather. Yeah, CCF was when we lived up in 23rd in Quebec, perhaps 1957, something like that, yeah. Mm.
And would the trade unions go to the CCF for support around trade union issues?
My dear, really, I didn't know whether they went... You know, I wasn't involved in the CCF to the point that I could tell you that.
Okay.
Uh-huh. The NDP, they did, of course.
Were there very many women involved in the union at the hospital?
Oh, yes. I'd say probably... Probably a third men and two-thirds women, or between that and half at all times, yeah. And then there were a great many women who were involved to the point of helping at things, you know, at affairs, social affairs, or picnics and that sort of thing. Oh, yes, yeah, in a minor way.
Right. When you try and schedule meetings to try and involve people who work there, would you try and have people book time off, or?
Well, that was more or less left to the person. The officers could quite often get off, at least the table officers, of course, could get off. But I don't believe there's any specific provision made by the union for the minor officers, no.
Was it difficult in a hospital for people to leave work?
Sort of, yeah.
Why would that be? Would it be?
Well, because of continuity. All we heard was continuity of patient care. And of course, this is a fact of life. It's a thing that's necessary. Everyone should be able to think that they'll have roughly the same sort of set of nurses treating them all the time. And of course, that goes for other staff. You know, changing isn't that good. So it is it's more difficult in the hospital than anywhere else, I think. And discontinuity isn't recommended at all.
Were shifts a problem specifically for women, for example, in terms of children?
Well, definitely. They'd be a problem also for the father of the family, in the sense that he wouldn't see his children sometimes for weeks while he was on the shift, but especially for the mother, of course, because the mother has to be up when her children are up, regardless of what hour she got to sleep the night before. It can't be done to try to sleep when your children are awake, especially if they're small.
Did women talk a lot about the problem of childcare?
Oh, well, of course they did, yes. They have since women ever started to work, I think, of course. But it was then considered your problem. You didn't have rights, you know. You didn't think about having rights. Deep down, you'd think, well, there must be a way. But it was never done, you know.
Right. Did women try various solutions for?
Oh, well, of course, you know, they tried babysitters, daycare, this sort of thing, sleep-in mothers, sleep-in older ladies, free room and board for night care of children, this sort of thing, yeah.
Right. And did the hospital ever shift people's shifts on them suddenly?
Oh, yes. All of a sudden this would be sprung on you. Mind you, the union had control of a certain amount of this, you know, and after the union got in, of course, it was much better. There had to be a sort of halfway rational explanation given then.
Right. And were there split shifts as well?
Not too much. In the early days there were. That I know, though I never had to work on one. And to tell you the truth, I don't remember talking to anyone who did. But we knew in the diet kitchen, we heard that in the diet kitchen there were split shifts.
Right.
People coming in to help over the lunch hour and over the dinner hour.
When you became a nursing unit clerk, was that a steady day job?
Mm-hmm. Until the last year and a half. It was also made shifts, two shifts, day and night, evening. And that was just about when I called a halt and retired myself, because I found after that short of time, I couldn't take it. I just wasn't sleeping anymore.
Right. Did people suffer medical and psychological problems from shift work?
I'm sure they did. While I can't give any specific instances, I'm sure that they did.
And,
it was obvious. Marriages were broken up over it. That I know. You know, one heard of these things. Oh, yes. That happens in every place where there are shifts. I'm sure of it.
Because people don't see each other.
Well, sure. Because you've got to have continuity in family life, too, don't you? You've got to have standards and customs and this sort of thing. I think shift work, you know, it must be disastrous for a marriage, especially a new marriage, perhaps One that's old and stable, perhaps, can stand the extra pull, but...
Did most of the personnel in the hospital oppose the shift work? Dislike it?
They disliked it, yes, badly, but there's not much use talking of opposing it. You know, what can you do about it? It's there. But there were various issues that sprang up over the fact that you shouldn't change people from days to nights. You should change them from days to afternoons, and then from afternoons to nights, this sort of thing. So that they couldn't arbitrarily say you work this shift. There were rotations worked out.
And were any shift workers on executive ever? The union?
I don't believe so, because I just wouldn't know how they could do it. Perhaps people who just had two shifts like me, perhaps they could have managed, but I that was pretty difficult at that. I missed meeting after meeting that I literally couldn't go to, let alone the ones I might be sick or something. Well, sure, yeah. Be pretty hard. If I were on shift, I wouldn't run for the executive. I might finish out my term, perhaps, say.
And was there a strong steward structure in the union?
Fairly strong, I thought. Mm-hmm.
And was there a... let's see, you mentioned that there was a rally about Lockmark.
Oh, yes.
Can you describe
The whole hospital turned out. That is, as many people at one time who could be spared. And then when they went back, another lot came out. We marched round and round about the blocks, waving placards, Lockmark must go, and so on. First time I ever picketed with a doctor in my life.
Why did that action take place?
Because he cut the budget, or to be exact, he didn't cut the budget, but he announced that we had to live on the original budget, which was 5 years previous. And, of course, it was been impossible to live on it for at least 3 or 4 years. So you can imagine the alarm that when this budget came out and we found out we were only getting what we'd had. That was the fixed budget the Socreds had at the time. And your budget was fixed for X number of years. They reviewed it every year, but, of course, there were things they never raised it for, and one was hospital care, of course.
And was that, what year was that, in 71? Or?
Approximately, yeah, 70, 71. I can remember at one time hearing a statement from one of the men in the hospital. He said that he'd heard in the business office that if it wasn't for our suppliers, we would have been bankrupt. They said at any time, Malkins, Nabob, Woodward's, and so on, were literally carrying us for a year with bills that we weren't totally unable to pay.
Okay. What kind of grievances did people bring to the union?
Oh, grievances about jobs that had been given them that they thought didn't belong in their classification, that the supervisors were beginning to ignore the boundaries of the classifications, and about hours, disputes over hours, disputes over pay, that they thought they had worked more hours or something. Just this general type of thing. I can't remember many others. Perhaps there were, in the early days, there were the odd anti-union remark that people would bring in a grievance about being spoken to on account of their union activity, but it couldn't have been very much. I don't remember that much about it. Once or twice, I can. That was all.
Was that technical innovation a problem in the hospital, new machinery coming in?
No, not really. Let me think. I don't think so. Hospitals are necessarily a job of handwork. I don't think there'll ever, for years, be much diminution in that. You know, it's largely handwork, person work. No, I can't remember anything.
Did the issue of equal pay come up at all?
Came up periodically. Nothing. We were brought a little closer towards it, perhaps. I can remember one time when the raise for women was a bit higher than the raise for men. You know, an effort to catch up, yeah. But
was there consciousness in the union of the need for women to receive equal wages? Is that possible?
Oh, yes. There was consciousness about it, but I can't remember anything too radical being done about it, no.
And were there other women's issues like maternity leave that came up?
No, not that I can remember.
Did people look to the union to solve their problems, or was the maternalism a problem?
Well, it took a great many years before people would instinctively find themselves going to their supervisor and, you know, would think to themselves, oh my gosh, what did I do that for? I think it was a kind of unconscious thing. But I think in the end that the union probably, one of their great problems, they weren't conscious enough about training, and the shop stewards weren't nearly trained well enough.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that a couple of them quite often said, settled your problem just themselves, you know.
Right.
And perhaps girls who, or people who weren't too conscious of it, perhaps didn't realize that, thought that was the big word sent down from the union executive, you know. I don't think that any of the union did a good enough job of training, no. But by and large, they functioned fairly well.
The women who played a central role in the union, were they mostly single women or single parents? Or?
No, actually, just spectrum.
Okay. And were there social events that the union organized?
Mm-hmm, quite a few. We had a dance every year. For years we had a picnic, till the picnic idea seemed to fall through in every group, didn't it? And various... a dinner at Christmas type thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were there any job actions that the union organized?
I can't remember any. No, one time we got so far as to actually be discussing strike, but I think that was settled before there got to be too much of a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you've got to remember the hospital had it kind of easy in a way. They could almost promise us anything because the government would take care of that, you know. The hospital had it quite easy. You see, what was to stop the hospital board from saying, God, double their wages? There was nothing to stop them, really, because the BCHIS wouldn't put up with it.
They wouldn't realize the wages that had been promised to you.
No, of course not. The government, the budget was the last word on it, and when the budget came out, it was quite obvious you were going to be lucky to get any kind of a raise. So, I mean, that had a great deal to do with it, too, I think. The feeling that it was not much use asking for much more, because you just weren't going to get it. And when you can't blame and strike against your board of directors, there doesn't seem too much point against striking, does there?
Right.
More job action should have been taken against the provincial government, yes. No doubt about it.
Did the union work at all with other public sector unions around some of those issues?
We belonged to QP at one time and we got out, and I never quite understood why we got out. All of a sudden, I miss a meeting or two. I suppose I couldn't get there. And we're out of QP, and I never did know whether that was a good thing or a bad thing.
Did becoming active in the union change your life?
Oh, well, not too much. Gave it a new dimension, perhaps, but not too much, no. Made me busier, I can tell you that.
Mm. Was that because you had a strong political identity?
Well, yes, certainly I had the strong trade union and political identity before, because my ex-husband was a trade union man. So I didn't need converting, really.
What was your husband's attitude towards you being active in the union?
Well, me being active in anything outside the house, his attitude wasn't good. But the union, not specifically, no.
And did he see any sort of contradictions in him being active in his union?
Oh, well, plenty of contradictions. One just, you know, the wife, that wasn't her place. You've no idea what an incredible atmosphere women worked in. I mean, to the point that where they accepted this sort of thing. I accepted it for a great many years that, well, I just couldn't, that's all.
Right. What kind of attitudes were there in that time towards women working and having the right to have a job?
Well, I believe that always women at a certain level, there's a mass approval of them working. Perhaps when you get a little higher up and it's a career, maybe you have no right to a career, but you always have a right to do the dirty work for society, and it's very much approved of, really, that someone's puttering around doing this dirty work.
Right. And did attitudes change from the 30s through to the 50s and 60s towards women working?
Yes, because then I believe more women got into every level of work. There weren't many in management, perhaps, but certainly more than there were in the 30s. And I believe that people, it was here to stay, in other words. I think the war did that. I really do.
Why is that?
Well, women were needed during the war, desperately needed. They had to go to work. And so many of them did, and worked for so many years, and it became just a part of their life. Well, naturally, their family's attitude towards women working has changed, eh? Their children's attitude, if they had had any attitude before, would be changed. So the next generation, of course, would accept, well, women working, sure, most women work, you know. It was more or less a foreseen thing.
How about after the war? Was there an attempt to get women back to the home?
Oh, right after. Oh, yes. Until they found that somehow the economy was absorbing these returning men at a fast enough rate that there weren't going to be riots in the streets. When they found that out, because there was a boom after the war, and the returned men were absorbed pretty quickly, I thought. And then, of course, they let the girls alone again for a while.
What kind of things did they sort of say about women working?
Well, have babies. That was the beginning of the baby boom. Have lots and lots and lots of babies, you know. It deserves two purposes. It gives your job to a man, if he wants it. Plus, it kind of settles you down a bit. You're not going to do too much high-flying when you're pregnant, or nursing, or anything else, you know. It makes for stability, my dear.
Was that,
that well, we fell for it. Of course we fell for it. I had four children. I thought I was doing something wonderful.
Lots of work.
Sure. But, you know, later you get thinking and you realize the whole thing was a damn put on. And sponsored by the women's magazines, and that was the end of my acquaintanceship with the women's magazines, except for Chatelaine.
Right. What kind of things did they have in them, like articles on?
Oh, articles on Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so with their bonny 10 children, and what's more, they're fostering 7 more, you know, and this sort of thing, and how wonderful it was, and with it all, the house was immaculate and what all, and the stress that was put on the physical part of your living, your home, your cooking. They just did their level best to keep you busy at things that they thought you should be busy at.
And did they kind of have the attitude that if women had to work, it was secondary to?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. Oh, yes. Your main thing in those days was keeping your husband happy, don't forget. That was the big deal of keeping him happy. That was even ahead of those children.
Did the women you know work, most of them?
Yeah, I guess a fair share of them. When I first started to work, no, I was the only one of our group that worked. But later on, yes, practically everyone.
Okay. And what was the attitude towards women being active in unions then?
Oh, well, fairly. Well, I don't think many women wanted to, but on the other hand, if you wanted to, I suppose if that's what turned you on, they didn't care that much. You know, I wouldn't have made any enemies with my union work among women, but I don't think many women wanted to, just ordinary women.
Was there sort of a hostility towards women who stood up and sort of spoke for themselves?
Not in the union, there wasn't, no. In fact, you were quite admired if you did.
What about outside of it, though, in society?
I think, are we talking about the 30s, 40s, and 50s?
Yeah, and changes sort of in that.
In the 30s, you probably, it would be approved of more because times were desperately hard and people were more rational. You know, they had more time to think. But in the 40s or 50s, I think we were still in the era that the least noise a woman made, the more feminine she was. And, of course, a feminine woman was very desirable. I think that was the attitude largely. Still, even in the 50s, you should be ladylike.
Were many of the women politically involved in the rank and file who were unionists?
Not too many, no, not too many. A few of my friends belonged to the party, like I did. Not too many, no, I'd say average not. But, you know, there's a lot of immigrant women who, no matter where they are, they won't become involved in politics because they're not supposed to, really, till they get their citizenship, eh? Because if they do, they could be deported if anything happened, you know. So we suffered from that a certain amount. There's no doubt of it.
Was there a sort of a social milieu of hospital workers? Did people spend time with each other?
Yes, quite a bit. Yeah, I think. I didn't so much, and yet I did in a way. Three of us hung around together. Yeah, I think so. There are in most plants, I think, too. But I think in the hospital, yeah.
And in terms of working in the laundry, I remember you said that you hurt your shoulder. Was that mm-hmm. kind of thing common where people would have...
Yeah, it was pretty hard. And I'd say that I'll bet you that not many laundry people don't end up with rheumatism or arthritis, this sort of thing. It was very damp, steamy work. At one moment you were exposed to these tremendous temperatures. The next moment you would step outside to go home and you'd be in freezing weather, this sort of thing. Yeah, I think that it had an effect.
Right. Were there problems because of the number of different ethnic groups in the workforce and new immigrants in terms of English as a language?
Well, no, because they had such a good staff of interpreters. So if the worst came to the worst and the boss, for instance, or foreman, found that some person wasn't understanding what he said well enough to do his work, he could always call an interpreter. They had a very large lot of interpreters there, every language you can conceive of.
Right. Okay. When you look back on the experience of being involved in the union, do you think that it met the needs of the women and the workers who it was trying to serve?
Well, in a way, it satisfied the needs of women in a small way, because the women learned that you could fight for a thing and be terribly frightened you weren't going to get it, and even frightened of reprisal, and yet you could get it. You actually could. And that did a great many of them, a lot of good, I'm sure of it. Just that experience that honestly, some of those girls would be frightened of their own shadow if they wanted to speak to you. They'd ask you to come into the toilet, even when it wasn't necessary, really. But to find that workers could fight for something and stick together and fight for it and get it, I think it did everyone good. Mm-hmm. Sure. Give you more confidence.